Okay, Rob, why don't you read the list of people who are present? And if your name isn't mentioned, then bring it up.
Okay. This is the Acting Secretary of the Technology Committee, Rob Robinson. You just heard Michael Woodson, our chair. And currently we have on the call Mary Berg and Henry Knorr from KPFA. We have from KPFK Ali Lexa. We have from KPFT Michael Woodson and Bill Crozier. We have from WBAI Vajra Kilgour. We have from WPFW Rob Robinson and Hislop and Michelle Smith. And as far as I know, that is it. If there is a member of the committee whose name I did not mention, please announce yourself now.
Andrea Fisherman from BAI.
Oh, Andrea. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
Turning it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thanks, Rob. And Michelle, did you mention her? Maybe I didn't.
Michelle Smith from WPFW and M. Hislop are on the call along with myself. So you have a full house from WPFW.
Thank you. All right.
Hi, it's Ann Hislop. Is it possible to just note who's just brand new to this committee, besides myself and Michelle from PFW?
The committee is brand new.
The committee is brand new?
Well, a few of us
thought.
The committees are reappointed every year, and I don't think that we have any repeat. We may have a couple members, but for the most part, we don't have members that were on the technology committee from last year.
Okay, and so this is only your second meeting since the committee formed?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mary, you were wanting to say something?
No, I just said I am a repeat. I was on before.
Do you want to give us a briefing, a quick update?
No, I don't think. I think we should just move on. Now, Pete was on the committee, though.
Yeah.
And that's another, but he's not here now.
Okay. Well, let's establish an agenda. I would like to remind everybody that **1 is the toggle to mute. Okay.
Pound one.
I stand corrected.
The mute and unmute.
Okay, so I've mentioned a few agenda items. I'm wondering if anybody has any to add, or if you have a priority of importance that we can start with the most important and then move down, and then how much time we might devote to each item. And if
did you say you're going to skip the Hahn proposal agenda item?
We're not even going to mention that, right?
No, okay. Yeah.
All right.
It's not on there.
Are you going to adopt the minutes that were circulated, Mr. Chair?
Okay, yes.
Add this on.
That's sort of protocol, right? That's what we do at this point of the meeting. But first we'll set an agenda, so we'll adopt the minutes. That'll be the first thing we do.
Right.
And then I have a sense that maybe we should get the HD radio report from John, and then that probably won't take too long. And we can move into the digital distribution development report and see where that takes us. Followed by the idea of the Bill Crozier raised, does that sound good to everybody?
I think
getting information is a great idea for this meeting.
Okay. So,
I actually want to put something else on the agenda as well, if possible. This is Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly how to phrase this. I haven't thought too much about the language in terms of governance, but I think that some PMB, and this is the most natural body of the PMB to do so, should look at two things. The technical, I guess, abilities of the local stations, ensuring that the local stations are at a certain par level being, you know, 21st century and given our needs to do special breaking news, live events. So it's really come to my attention over the years that there's a vast difference between the five stations and what kind of resources and what kind of allocations they make in this area. So I think the board, on some level, should step in and try to create some kind of parity, I guess. I don't know. And so that's one concern, and it's really a budgetary issue. I don't know if it needs to be discussed today, but we should start discussing it immediately because it's a big one. The other one...
Could I get some clarity? What's the key term on that?
Parity issue.
Well, I guess budget and resource allocation at the local stations. You know, ensuring that we are able to do what we need to do at all the five stations. So it's a budgetary discussion, and we should start it immediately, not in 3 months, but right now. And the second one is specifically regards to national specials. I don't know if it's necessary to have some kind of governance motion on this, but you know, it seems to me that when things go wrong on nationals specials, for example, there should be a protocol in place or a proper procedure to find out what and how things went wrong. And you know, it's not often as easy as that sounds. There is sometimes even resistance to that. And I think it would be of help if there's some, you know, if the board stepped in on some level to provide additional muscle to get to the bottom of some of the problems.
I agree with Pete.
Good idea.
The evaluations of national broadcasting you're talking about?
Well, I'm not saying evaluations, but it's you know, just full reporting. And I'm talking from the stations. You know, John and I could help, but full reporting from the stations when things go wrong. Full disclosure, because you know, we're trying to be a network here, and when things go wrong, it's not just affecting one station, it's affecting not even the sister five. It's impacting sometimes dozens of stations in real time, live. So this is our core business, so to speak.
Full reporting of technology dysfunctions, is that technology problems?
Well, that's too broad. I don't want to say, you know, we need to be reporting and disclosing publicly everything. I think with operations, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. But especially with regards to national broadcasts, which is, again, one of our core businesses here. We do radio, and these national radio specials, if and when there are problems, you know, the affiliates program needs to know, the clients want to know if this is being remedied, et cetera. And it's not often that easy to get to the bottom of things.
So it's communication and somewhat involved with paperwork.
It's problems that went on.
Can I make a motion?
Sure. Yeah.
Can I make the motion that the technology committee support that at the end of every national broadcast or network special, there be a debriefing that's conducted by the technical staff to determine, number one, lessons learned, and number two, to identify protocols or troubleshooting procedures for future broadcasts?
Well, in the spirit of let's get it done if no one has an objection, but I think we need to approve a budget probably. I mean, approve an agenda before we get into...
Sure. That's correct.
Okay, but your language is pretty good. A debriefing of...
Lessons learned and identifying the problem.
I can make the motion again when we come back to the topic.
Yeah, make a note. Okay.
Yes.
So, are there any other issues that people want to approach?
I think that's enough.
Yeah, I like the budget one because I actually just editorialize a minute. I actually think that maybe the way into this entire effort that we're trying to pursue on the technology committee is through budget discussions. But anyway,
one thing that actually Mr. Caracas mentioned at the last meeting was that he felt that this meeting, rather than bringing the CFO on to discuss the issue of budget and where the money is for technology and technical operations, Pete suggested that we should try to define what goals this committee has. Is that something, Mr. Chair, that you're going to touch on in your remarks? Okay.
Yeah, I think goals. Yeah, I'm almost afraid to use that word, but yes, I was going to. Yeah, okay.
Objectives.
Well, it's just that there's so the discussion of where to start is huge, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, if I may say, I'm not sure we're ready to figure out our goals until we look at the material in front of us, like these detailed reports, get a handle of what is in front of us, and then figure out what our goals are once we hear the material that we're addressing.
Right, and we can, maybe we'll ask. I do have on the agenda a report from Pete and John, and maybe we should let them air it out again, since a lot of people on the call were not on the call last time. Of course, they don't have to repeat everything, but maybe we can just get a sense of what they're thinking. Is that, Andrea, that might address your concern?
Yeah.
Would there be a way to start that? Okay, so let's. Go ahead.
This is Dave. I just want to let you know I'm on the call.
All right, thank you, Dave.
I think, did we put the priority list from Pete and John onto the agenda that was proposed? But
tonight,
put that on.
Let's put it on.
I think we should include that.
Let John speak. Give his HD report, and maybe let Pete follow that report with his report, if you want to call it that or whatever.
Well,
you know?
This was what you said here, a priority list from Pete and John, and I realize we should have included that, I think, and I don't think we did.
Yeah, yeah.
From the proposed list.
Can I make a procedural proposal?
Go ahead.
Would people try to remember to identify themselves before they speak?
Because
some of us at least don't recognize the voices.
Good idea. All right.
Okay, I'll try to remind people. Michael Woodson will try to remind people to do that. Okay, so let's take that as an agenda and see where it goes. First, I would like to adopt the minutes that Rob sent out. And if there are no objections, I'll just take that as acquiescence that the minutes can stand. If anybody has corrections, raise them now. Okay, that being the case, I didn't hear any objections. We'll adopt the minutes that were sent out by Rob, and we'll move to John Amella's report on HD Radio, because I think there were some timely things happening this week.
Great. John. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Andrew, yes.
Good. All right. So Friday was the deadline for the the CPB HD Radio Matching Grant application period. And we got three stations that applied, KPFK in Los Angeles, WPFW in D.C., and WBAI in New York. KPFA decided they are not interested in applying for the CPB HD Radio Matching Grant this year. KPFT is in the final stages of implementing HD radio with just a small bit of radio frequency work, RF work, to be done to finish the job and to get the last third of the CPB matching grant. They're hoping to have that up and running by the 1st of May. And this week they're actually applying for the PTFP grant so that they can get their consoles, so they can get digital consoles and new STLs. STL is a studio to transmitter link, and they're looking at Mosley RF, which is a microwave microwave RF bridge between their studio and transmitter. So. Okay, so let's take a look at KPFK and what they did. Pacifica Radio's KPFK proposes to install an iBox system at the KPFK transmitter facility located at Mount Wilson. KPFK is a 48-year-old grandfathered Class B FM broadcast station operating with 110,000 watts on 90.7 megahertz KPFK K is a CPB qualified station with minority status and has been under the same ownership during its entire broadcast history. KPFK proposes to install an iBox system using a separate antenna and iBox transmitter. To achieve the current level of digital signal, which would be 1% of their 110,000 watts, they're going to use a 5-kilowatt HD transmitter operating with 1,300 watts digital TPO, that's transmitter power output, will be required. This separate transmitter will feed a new 4-bay, that's the size of their FM antenna, to be mounted just below the existing main antenna system. An FCC construction permit for this antenna has been granted for this purpose. The addition of IBOC will not have any negative effect on the separate analog transmitter operation. A separate antenna is required because of the very large amount of analog power. 110 is huge. At this point, I think they're only granting 100,000 watts, and this was above it, and because they got this early on. A separate antenna is required because of the very large amount of analog power on the main antenna, and the difficult and dangerous process of high-level or mid-level combining is not practical at this power level. Low-level combining is not possible because the analog transmitter in use will not make sufficient power with both analog and HD signals combined. The IBOC transmitter will be fed by a new Mosley Starlink STL, that's also a microwave RF bridge between their studio and transmitter. The programming of the SAC will likely involve a second language service with a that's the second audio channel. They'll probably be doing like a Spanish language channel or something like that with a separate non-commercial program schedule. However, these plans are still in the early stages of development. KPFK will hire an outside engineering consultant with HD radio construction experience to install the IBOC transmission equipment, and the station staff will maintain the operation after completion. The timeline for this project is expected to start in September of 2007 and end 12 months later in September of 2008. On the grant of the money that that they need for this project, $155,750 were eligible under CPB. $13,500 are ineligible, and that's mostly electrical contracting and tower rigging for their. They own their own tower, and they have to shore it up so that they can put the extra antenna on it. 52% is going to come from KPFK, 48% is going to come from CPB, and the amount that they're going to get from CPB would be $85,000. So I'm going to move on to WPFW. WPFW is a Class B FM facility operating with 50,000 watts ERP, that's effective radiating power, with a fairly new transmitter purchased through a PTFP grant in 2001. WPFW has limited funds and limited physical space in their transmitter plant for new equipment, so we will propose the use of split-level combining to utilize the existing transmitter, and one new digital transmitter. The site has tower space and lease constraints that will not allow the use of separate antennas. Interior space restrictions will not allow the use of a single nor dual low-level combining system. The use of split-level combining also allows WPFW to convert to digital without significant electrical expenses that they would realize under any other approach. The proposal takes advantage of an existing T1 STL, which can be improved at moderate cost. However, due to the financial concerns of Pacifica, the proposal also allows for the generation of HD1 carriers at this point in time. They are also They were also a minority certified station. And we'll look at the amount that they're looking at, $149,000 of eligible equipment for this project and $1,000 ineligible, and that's mostly electrical connection. They're getting a 43% match by WPFW and 57% match from CPB. So we're going to move on to WBAI. WBAI Pacifica Radio proposes to install an iBox system at the WBAI transmitter facility located at the Empire State Building in New York System. Yep, New York City. WBAI is a 46-year-old grandfathered Class B FM broadcast station operating with 4,500 watts on 99.5 megahertz FM. WBAI has been under the same ownership since 1961 when it was given to the Pacifica Foundation and has remained under Pacifica's ownership during its entire subsequent broadcast history. WBAI proposes to install an iBox system using its existing antenna and new low-level combined iBox transmitter. To achieve the current level of digital signal, a 10-kilowatt analog HD transmitter operating with approximately 500 watts digital TPO will be required. What they're going to do is they're going to use low-level combining so that they can, and then they will broadcast it with one transmitter. Right? The transmitter system will feed the existing main antenna system on the Empire State Building. The addition of iBox will not have any negative effect on the analog operation. The iBox transmitter will be fed by the existing digital audio pairs provided by telco leased lines. The secondary audio channel importer will be fed by a similar system. I think we can leave that out. That's a bit too technical. WBAI will hire an outside engineering consultant with HD radio construction experience to install the iBox transmission equipment, and station staff will maintain the operation after completion. The timeline for this project is expected to start in September of 2007 and end 12 months later in September 2008. They also applied for a hardship grant, which is part of the grant that would actually give them more more money. It says WBAI Radio is unable to complete the digital conversion at the standard CPB funding level for the following reasons. In 3 years, the station has to find new premises as the lease on its current studio may not be renewed. New York City is still in the real estate boom, and every effort to raise additional funds beyond annual donations in the next 3 years will go to need to be directed toward relocation expenses and new studio construction. In addition, while WBAI Radio is part of the Pacifica Foundation, currently 20% of the station's quarterly fundraising drive income is given to the Pacifica Foundation with an additional $500,000 each year for administrative services. It's going to cost the total for the project, the total eligible is, see, I'm not sure that is 280 is actual. I think that's the actual. I think I've got that wrong. I think I printed this out before I changed it, but I think it's 280 total with 67,000 ineligible, and that's for a new HVAC, that's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, which they're going to need, electrical, RF, and structural contractors. 20% will be matched from the WBAI and 80% from CPB. So they'll get, I think, 85,000 or possibly a higher level of funding from the CPB. Do we have any questions at this time?
I have a question.
Okay. Is this Michael?
I was listening to someone else had a question. Yes, Michael Woodson has a question about the amount of money that WBAI will be spending on this upgrade?
Yes.
On HD radio?
Yep.
I didn't get your numbers very well.
I have to look at that because let me get that back. WBA is going to be higher because it's in the Empire State Building, so you kind of, it's not like, you know, just some small plant out there, so you have to kind of do everything through that. The numbers that I see are 280,000 total, 67,500 ineligible.
What's that, 67.5 ineligible?
That's for the HVAC system, electrical, RF.
Oh, you're breaking
and,
it down.
Pardon?
You're breaking it down.
Yeah. The
okay,
RF
just,
and
okay.
Structural contractors.
You said that the grant from the, was it, which, the PN, what is it, the grant that we're receiving
from CPB.
CPB, yeah. I'm sorry.
Right, Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
CPB grant, how much will that be?
I think it's going to be $85,000, but there's also that hardship grant, which may actually increase that. I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's kind of important to get some clear numbers on that.
Well, I saw two different sets of numbers, and I'm not quite sure which is. I think it's $85,000, which is the cap, but I think there may actually be a small percentage higher because of the hardship narrative.
I can understand that might be.
Or it may just be that the percentage is different because it's not. Usually it's 50-50 that they have to raise, and here it's 80-20. But they're still
right.
Going to have to raise all the additional money over that 85 or 89,000.
Yeah, I understand the provisional nature of that. So the range is 85 to.
Well, I've heard that the cap was 85,000, but I also heard that they were willing to give a bit more money for minority status and for the hardship clause, and I'm not sure exactly how much that is. It's not a whole lot extra.
They're going to need.
They're going to need about
at least $150,000.
That's correct.
Their own money to make this happen.
That's correct.
That's good information.
They may actually be able to. Yes.
I want to ask a different kind of question once you're done with that.
Okay, ask the question, Dave.
How much additional staff time and effort is going to be required to deal with whatever issues arise from going into IBOC? I mean, partly, obviously, we're going to have, if we're going to use those channels, then you need people to run the additional channels. But just from a technical point of view of keeping it up and running and dealing with it, is there an ongoing commitment of resources needed for that?
I haven't heard anything. That's not been addressed on my side. Actually, PFW is not putting any secondary. They're going to do that later. They're going to add the secondary channels later. So they're just doing IBOC for the main channel, which means that they'll have their analog channel and they'll have a digital channel that will actually have the same programming on it as the analog channel.
And can you give us a number of how much they're going to need in their own money, how much they're going to need to raise to make this happen?
For PFW?
For BAI.
For BAI? Well, it really depends on how much they chop out of this. So it may be that they need, you know, $190,000. It may be less.
Best case scenario, they'll need what?
Well, you know, that's kind of up to them how they implement. Like if they have a backup transmitter in their plan, they can possibly drop that out and use the transmitter that they're currently using, and that would save them $60,000-$70,000. But that's up to them how they're going to implement. The grant, once you get the grant, you decide how to implement it. All you have to do is turn on, you know, the HD radio at the end of the period, and then you'll get the rest of the money.
Yes, can we get, like, a figure of how much they're going to need? They're going to need at least how much money?
They're
going to
need, well...
$120,000,
$150,000? No, it's well...
Of their own money.
That I can't really make that determination, Michael, because that's not really my job to make that determination. That's actually to the station, you know? If they decide to drop out, you know, certain things out of it and they can still implement, that's all in good.
Right.
I mean, that hasn't been determined at this point, so I can't really answer that question.
Well, I'm happy with a range from, you know, 70,000 to 190,000.
It's going to be more than that. I figure, you know, remember, again, you're dealing with the Empire State Building, so you've got additional expenses.
Can you give us an idea of what it would cost? Andrea Fishman, can you give us an idea of what it would cost if they didn't drop anything out?
I didn't hear the end of that. Could you speak a little louder, Andrea?
If they didn't drop anything out.
Then we're looking at about 280. We're looking at what I think is about 340,000, something like that.
Minus 85,000 from the CPB and a little more for a hardship grant and a little more.
That's probably true.
So minus.
I don't think that they're going to be able to get everything they've put in. That they're not. I don't think they're going to be able to afford everything they've put in.
But in other words, the most it could be is 380,000 minus about 90.
No, 340, yeah, something like that.
Okay, thank you.
That's yep.
So, does anybody have a range of what we're looking at here?
Well, I have a question and a comment, if I may. This is Rob Robinson, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, John, I have a sense from what you've told us of what the cost. The installation costs are going to be, isn't it the case that once you have put in the HD radio that there are going to be annual operating costs which have not yet been set by FCC regulations?
They're actually, no. If you're talking about the Ubiquiti licensing, that's paid by CPB.
And it's a one-time fee.
That's a one-time fee. We found that out for non-commercial stations. It's a reoccurring fee for...
So there aren't recurring fees over and above the installation of the equipment?
No, there may be higher electrical costs.
I see. Okay. But the other thing, I'm really not trying to ask or mention as something that's incredibly simple or insult anybody's intelligence, but I'd like everybody to be aware of the fact that the benefits of HD radio will only be available to people that have purchased an HD radio set. I hope everybody knows that. And Mr. Chair, one of the things that I'd like to do is send an article about that that I found in a trade magazine that talks about the issue of the sales of HD radio sets. So if that's okay with you, I'm just going to circulate that to the members of this committee.
Very good. I'd like to see it.
Sure.
This is Henry. May I ask another question?
Go ahead,
sure.
Henry.
I'm wondering, you said that KPFA decided not to apply. I saw what you wrote about, or what somebody wrote about KPFA in the HD radio report.
Yeah, that was Bill Wells and I wrote that report, yes.
Well, is there further information of who decided not to apply, and are there any further justification for that decision other than not getting enough from the last grant?
Not really. I assume it was management in conjunction with the chief engineer, Michael Yoshida.
Uh-huh.
Can I follow up on that?
I'm looking at my latest printout, which shows me that the numbers are different for WBAI. Unfortunately, I got... The final, I thought I was printing out a final and getting the numbers from that, and obviously it wasn't a final version. So it really looks like the numbers are lower. I'm trying to find exactly the page I'm looking for. The grand total for eligible is 151, not 280, and the ineligible is 132,859. So,
what's
this is WBAI again. So this is actually a little bit lower. They're now looking at $284,000 or something like that. A little over $284,000.
I guess, Dave, is it all right if I get some clarity on those numbers before we go to your question?
Go ahead.
John, I think you've kind of truncated that. I'm confused, and it's really important, I think, to get some clarity for BAI, which I think we can assume we know why.
Right.
So, I need a range, because
I can't really give you that. I mean, if you want to, I'll go through the whole grant and I'll tell you what's included. But I think it's not going to really mean anything to you. And the person, the person's implementing, are going to really have to, go through this and decide what they actually have,
understand the expenses are conditional.
So I can't give you that.
Is it working at all? Is it going to cost $100,000 of BAI money plus the grant money? Would that be fair to say at least?
We're looking at probably closer to, I'm looking at about $200,000 if they get everything that they're asking for.
That's the most, Andrea Fishman?
That's the most.
And what do you think would be the least?
I can't give you that information because I can't really tell you what we can drop out. I'm not implementing this project.
It doesn't matter.
Well, we need that.
I can go and I can get that for you later, but I can't answer that right now.
I don't think we're asking for any sort of commitment or hard numbers. We understand the condition of it, but if there's a range of this will be the least it'll cost, then we can make decisions that may arise in the future.
You realize that the contractors are much, I'm looking at, we could probably drop out, I'm making a guess here, there's a backup transmitter. That's about $45,000 there. You could probably drop that. In fact, I would suggest to them that they drop it because I don't think they're going to be able to afford it. But that's
they have a wish list attached to this thing.
Well, that's the backup transmitter. That would allow them to continue if their main transmitter, for some reason, is not functional. They would be able to continue broadcasting in HD. If they used their current transmitter as their backup transmitter, they would only be broadcasting the analog part of their signal, which might be a problem if there is some, I don't want to get into this, but if they broker one of their secondary channels out, that might be a problem.
Would you mind trying to find at least the bottom least expensive dollar for
it? I can get you that for another meeting. I can't do that right now because I can't make the decision of what things they drop out. A backup transmitter, I can say they could probably operate without it and still have most of their facility. But the other things, I can't make those judgments. I'm not the engineer that's going to implement this.
I understand.
If you're talking to Steve Brightwell, you can ask that type of question. They have to hire somebody to implement this, and I'm not that person.
Can we move on, please?
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, I think we should.
A couple things. I really wanted to follow up on what Henry said because it's a source of major frustration for me having worked for a year and a half to pass a contracts policy. And what that contracts policy said is when management is considering entering into a contract, they should notify, in the case of local contracts, they should notify the local station board. And then there should be an opportunity to see the contract before it's submitted. Now, to my knowledge, that didn't happen with any of the HD radio contracts. And the decision by management to not do this? Is it significant as a decision by management to do it? And, you know, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but, you know, if the governance structure is to really mean anything, when commitments are made, major commitments are made in the form of contracts, we need a lot of money.
Dave, can I ask you a question?
Hang on, let me just go back. Yeah, well, go ahead, John, and I'll finish my rant.
Yeah, is an application a contract?
No.
That's an interesting point. I actually want it made explicit that a grant is. When I came on the call, I thought I heard this referred to as a contract. We haven't explicitly said that a grant is yet. So if all these things are grants, that's one thing. And I'm quite wrong.
I mentioned it as an application of a grant.
Okay. Then as of this moment, it doesn't apply.
Okay, good.
I do want to bring, and I think probably through the coordinating committee, something that includes that, because it's still a major commitment. It's deciding that, hey, the foundation's going to go in this direction. And at the very least, it would be nice if we knew about it so that Henry, as a board member, doesn't need to ask who made the decision and how it was made.
Okay.
I withdraw on the other point, but I do. Grants need to be added. I just keep hearing these very big numbers and feeling as though, in addition to the amounts of money we're going to need to lay out, we have huge staff needs to populate, you know, an additional channel, and all of that is up front before you collect a dime of revenue from a listener who might hear that program. And I wonder, John, how much has that point been discussed? Or is this really being driven by just the notion that, well, let's get the grant, let's see what we get, and then we'll decide after whether we go further?
I think that that's part of it, but I really don't know if I can comment on that right now.
Well, it's sort of a disastrous thing to be. It's not fair to ask you to comment on.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Andrea Fishman, I have to say I agree with you, Dave. I think that grants and all funding should be considered with the same same criteria that contracts are considered. These things lead you into a direction once you accept the money. You're going down. It's a slippery slope. It's very rare that direction is reversed. Like it's almost equivalent to a contract.
If I may, pardon me. This is Pete as staff. I want to chime in on this as somebody who also is a technical staff has recently written a grant for Pacifica. Considering how many barriers there are to writing a grant successfully. Adding this time constraint to having to clear things with the boards, I think is really an undue burden, and it's really going to significantly impact us even writing grants, getting them off in time. If you have to at some level trust your staff, and if you hire your staff and you think they're acting out in the best interest of the mission, this is one extension of that. So I'm sorry, I have to strongly say that. I've been working with Pacifica for 5 years. To suggest that I would write something that's outside of the mission, I think is very much inaccurate. I would have been called on that years ago. I write reports on a regular basis and keep everyone abreast on what I do, but, you know, this is really an undue burden.
Dave, can you respond to that, please?
I'd like to get back on the stack.
Okay.
Yeah, so the contracts policy, if you look at it, was negotiated with a lot of staff people very clearly with the point you raise in mind. It is not onerous. It says you have to let us know that you're doing it, and we have to look at it. If there's a problem with it, you can trigger a review by asking for a review. But if there's a problem with it, that's an issue. For example, if a staff member decided to write a grant to do a project where the governance structure thought, hey, that's not the direction we want to go in, then that is significant. And, you know, there's no point in serving on a governance board if essentially the most critical decisions, which are what are we going to do, doesn't come to the board in terms of the large picture. Now, this is not to say, you know, we comb through the grants and say, oh, yeah, no, I disagree with that line. But if you, for example, say, okay, you're going to be spending your time developing Project A versus Project B, and they implement different visions, that is something that we should be notified of. Now, in the case of a grant, if we're notified of it after you submit it, you know, we live with that. If we get the grant or if the grant's awarded and people in governance think it's terrible, you know, somebody might say no. But the point of it is not to have it be onerous, but to at least be told what's going on in the foundation of significance.
Okay, Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, I take Pete's point. I mean, I think to be informed, we're writing a grant for this and this in a one-sentence information, is that certainly should happen, but for people to go into it, actually, even to the level we're going into it today, I don't think that's the best use of our time to be looking at what is the range of these grants and what is the grant. You apply for a grant, and what finally ends up can be so different. There are so many variables. I just don't... the application for a grant just does not seem to be the same thing.
That's very true. That's very true because...
Yeah, it's very true. And anybody that's had the least experience with it knows that. So to go into this minutia when it's not a contract, it's just something, it's pie in the sky till you get it.
And it will be going through coordinating and probably through finance...
At the time that
we get the grant, and then we're looking at real numbers. Right now, you give them a plan, and that's what the grant is about. You're not saying you're going to accept the grant until you're awarded the grant.
So what I'd like is simply that there is information, like I say, one sentence, a one-liner. We're applying for a grant for just one sentence, one line, and that's it, so that we know that's a good idea, what Dave just said, that we be told. But anything further at this stage, I think, is onerous. And frankly, I have to say, I think we've asked Sirius to John to look up things, to do a lot of work, which I think I hear a lot of work in what he's going to have to do. He's not the main person. He's have to go do this research, do this, try to get a budget, blah, or a range. I think what he gave us is it's an approximation. We know it's not a million. We know it's not 50,000. We've got something. I would really rather us not put that on him at this time. I may be the only one feeling this way, but I just don't see what this committee is going to do with that information at this very premature stage.
Mr. Chair, this is Rob Robinson. Could I express something in regard to this?
Go ahead. I feel like we're a little far afield the grant discussion. But.
Yeah, I agree with David. I don't think that we all have the same perception of what's happening. So I just want to share my perception. It's my sense that John and other people have come together to make sure that three stations, including my own WPFW, have applications in the event that they decide to go with HD radio. And really, it's the national staff that have put the effort into this, but I don't think that David is upbraiding them. I think David's concern is that the decision, making a strategic decision like this that's going to cost this amount of money and that is, in fact, in competition with other concerns, including staffing and other technical concerns, these decisions should be made coherently, and people in governance should understand what the intention is of the stations to do it. My perception is that what's happened at KPFT is that they made an informed decision about why they wanted to go with HD radio, which had something to do with the need for them to put together a better transmitter, and that KPFA has also made an informed decision that they don't think that going with HD radio is a good expenditure of their money because they've also looked at the issue. I think the other stations may not have done that, and I think the thrust of David's concern is, and I think it makes sense, is that all of the stations should be making informed decisions and letting people in governance know what they're doing, and if they're not doing it, why they're not doing it. And I don't think that David's remarks were directed at the work of John Almella and others, but I do think the consideration about whether or not stations go into this consciously or unconsciously is one that we in governance should be concerned about. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. My concern, to get the bottom line, was tied to one of the issues that we struck. And the other thing that we need to have from the agenda, the other thing that is related to that is the issue of actually leasing our HD stream. John, can you say where we stand on that?
At this point, the FCC has not ruled on whether a non-commercial station could broker an HD channel to a commercial concern. So we're waiting for that ruling. What was told us by the person at the CPB is that if you did that, chances are that you would have to pay additional money to Ubiquiti, because you've paid for a license that's a non-commercial license, and you've that one-time fee. So what you would do is have a reoccurring fee of probably 3% of the net of that concern, if the FCC actually rules in favor of brokering a non-commercial station's secondary channel.
Do you have a date on when we might have that decision? Did you hear any word?
No, you know, everybody keeps telling me it's close, and I don't know what that means.
Well, we're an hour into the
for a long time.
We're an hour into the meeting, and
you won't have it by the end of the meeting.
I'm sure of that. We can move on from HD. Are there any questions about the HD issue? High definition. Okay, Pete, we turn to you. And I'm putting you on the spot. We really haven't worked. I don't know that you have anything to report.
Well, I do want to touch base on some budget priorities that John and I both have been discussing, actually. We're not necessarily having a budget discussion, and I'm not fully ready to give figures and whatnot, but I want to give you folks a sense of what types of priorities we have, if you folks think that's appropriate.
Andrea Fishman, what do you mean? What kind of priorities do you have for what?
For technology.
For technology, you mean, for the first technology to be addressed, you mean in the coming year, that sort of thing, in terms of what our resources are?
It covers a wide range of technical operational issues.
Okay.
You know, not super extensive, but it's a wide range of just general technical issues, operational issues, really. Would you say that's right, John?
Yes, and that would be some would be for this year, and some would probably be for next year.
Yeah.
And I think Ann Hislop asked for an overview, and this would be an opportunity to sort of work that in.
Well, I don't think I'm fully prepared to give an overview to do justice on that.
I didn't mean to change your thoughts.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Unfortunately, but what I had read from a priority list, that number four on that email you sent out, Mike, I understood that as budgetary priorities, so maybe I misunderstood that.
No, just shoot.
I will preface this by saying, considering the size of our organization and the needs, operational needs, and the present status, I think, with all due respect, that they're very modest requests and priorities. And I don't think I'm the only one that would say that. For FY07, beyond what we were able to get in the budget during last year's process, some additional items have come up that are pretty critical. John has done a great job of identifying a solution for a distribution issue we've had in terms of streaming our KU satellite through the internet for clients that don't have the satellite, which we call just basically our KU internet stream. And in other scenarios as well, John's found this solution called Barracks. The company's called Barracks. They make several different products, two of which are specifically of value to us here. Very low-cost devices that basically one device would capture a stream and make it ready for a board to send out through the FM, capture a web stream, that is, and send it out through the terrestrial signal. And the second one does basically the opposite, captures what you're broadcasting through the terrestrial FM out of your board and through the internet to a server to be streamed. So these are, again, low-cost devices. John has come up with one scenario that would back up the KU, that would have a primary KU stream source coming out of KPFA and a secondary coming out of KPFT, which would provide a level of redundancy that we currently don't have. And the whole expense is probably certainly less than $1,000, to give you a ballpark. For all these devices. Another scenario is we would need a set of these Democracy Now to provide a backup and a more direct link, in case of additional distribution needs to and from Democracy Now. So, and again, the both scenarios there, or all these scenarios that I mentioned, would be about $1,000 or under $1,000. Another priority that I can't speak to why it didn't make it to the budget. Something I've been requesting for the last 3 years is a backup server for the audio port. This has come up over the last few months at meetings, and apparently there is money in the budget this year. Sorry, but that's a funny. There is money in the budget this year for it, but I didn't see it when the FY07 was approved, so I mentioned it here as a priority. Again, we haven't picked it up. The third one would be upgrading the software for the audio port, where there is some space in this year's budget for consultant work on this level. We would be outsourcing it to bring in specific features and harden other aspects of the audio port. And we're not talking about, an extreme expenditure here, several thousand dollars, a few very low cost expense.
Pete, could you describe what AudioPort is for those that may not be familiar with it on the committee?
Sure, AudioPort is our increasingly becoming our main distribution tool. In some aspects, it already is. In some aspects, our KU satellite is our main distribution tool. KU satellite is limited to two programs can be distributed at a time over a 24-hour cycle. The audio port is a web-based distribution system, so you don't have that limitation. You also have an on-demand service. So Pacifica, with introducing the audio port about 3-4 years ago, Pacifica was able to offer a couple of things for the first time. On-demand program distribution, opposed to in the past, stations had to stand by their KU or automate it somehow and record what we sent through the satellite and then play it back. For example, Democracy Now!, if you didn't broadcast it during the times we fed the program, you'd have to record it and then play it as you like. Mm-hmm. Now, with the audio port, you can find that in many other programs. And the second enhancement is whenever you want, on demand. And the second enhancement is instead of a one-directional distribution, Pacifica went two directions, both sending and receiving programming from affiliates and sister stations. So this really broadened the ability for producers, many producers at the local stations, to take advantage of this. The sister stations, some more, some less, are increasingly distributing their regular programs, their series through AudioPort and finding new markets. And it's also a great tool for program development, so to speak. What I what I like to think of as like open source programming, radio programming, where, for example, I saw an email today, one of our producers was invited over as a guest to Al Jazeera. She recorded X number of hours of raw files and actualities. She came back to the States, and she uploaded them to AudioPort and sent out an announcement to one of the lists that we have set up to promote such items. And so basically all of our news departments can capture this raw sound, our local producers, and use it in their programming.